Father God, as we think about that story this morning, I pray that you'd come and speak to each one of us. I pray that we would hear your words of life and encouragement. Amen. I want to start by asking you a question. What makes you feel special? What makes you feel special? At home, I've got an old leather suitcase. I call it my memories box. And in it, I keep special mementos from the past. Cards, diaries, certificates of achievement, gifts that I've been given that matter to me in some way. A few love letters are in there as well from more than one man. Those kinds of things, though, where you, my husband's looking really horrified. That's brilliant. And it's our wedding anniversary, too. In my memories box, probably my most precious possession is this postcard. And on it, it has that verse we've just heard from Mark, "Let the children come to me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I was given it almost 35 years ago on the first anniversary of my own baptism. I know it's nearly 35 years old, not just because it's gone ever so slightly brown, but when you look at the pictures of the children on the card, they're wearing flares. So it tells you it came from another era. For years as a child, and actually as a teenager as well, I kept this postcard stuck on my bedroom door. I kept it there because every day I liked seeing that verse. It was a reminder to me that as a child, I was welcome and wanted in God's family. That's why I've kept it. It's special to me because it makes me feel special. It makes me feel like I matter to God. I wonder what makes you feel special. I wonder what you keep in your memories box. As Richard mentioned earlier, over the last few weeks, we've been thinking about encountering God in our services or finding God, and thinking about finding God in all sorts of different ways. And today we're thinking about finding God in baptism. And so for the next few minutes, I want to think briefly about that Bible reading of Jesus and the little children, and also a bit about what baptism means as well. And perhaps the most striking thing about that reading from Mark's Gospel is that the disciples were trying to keep those children away from Jesus. In that culture at that time, children had a very low social status. They weren't considered to be particularly valuable simply because they weren't adults. I suspect it had something to do with their potential to earn money for the family. As children, they were a drain on resources. As soon as they hit 13 and came of age, they could then contribute to the family income. So I suspect that the disciples thought that they were doing the right thing, that they were protecting Jesus from people who weren't really worthy or deserving of him. But for me, that begs a question. What did the disciples think that Jesus was like? Well, for that matter, what do we think Jesus is like? Is Jesus only concerned with people who are worthy of him or deserving of him? Is Jesus only concerned with people who are important enough to have an audience with him? Well, to answer that, I find myself turning back to the beginning of Mark's Gospel, to Mark chapter 1, where we read a story about Jesus' own baptism. And this is what it says. "At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven and said, 'You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased.'" God spoke those words to Jesus before Jesus had done anything. At that point, he hadn't told a single parable, he hadn't performed any miracles, he hadn't healed anyone, he hadn't done anything. So those words weren't a reward to Jesus, they weren't a sort of end-of-term report of these are all the things you've done well. They were actually a starting point for Jesus, a reminder that whatever he went on to do, he was loved by God. So what's Jesus like? Well, I think Jesus is like God, which means he loves us. That love isn't a reward for something that we've done or achieved. It is a starting point for the rest of our lives, a springboard, if you will, for us to dive into life. This morning, we've just baptized the lovely Lucy. And one of the things that we're saying to Lucy through baptism is that, Lucy, whatever you go on to do or not do for that matter, you are loved by Jesus. She is wanted by Jesus. She is special to Jesus. And being baptized is a sign of God's love for us. And it's also a sign that we choose to accept that love. That's what's going on when we baptize Lucy. It's this offer of love from God and her family saying, and we want her to receive that. And that's also a choice we keep making throughout our lives. We are still loved by God. And we still have a choice about whether we'll accept that love. All this week, my 9-year-old son has been doing a football course in Eltham. On Thursday, he came home and he was tired out, so we sat down on the sofa together and cuddled up to watch the TV. When my husband put his head around the lounge door, he took one look at my son and said, "Oh, I can't believe you're cuddling him. He is filthy." And he really was filthy. He was sweaty and grimy because the dirt from the football pitch had stuck to the sweat, and he was sticky from sun cream, and he was smelling the way you would imagine any boy would smell after running around for 5 hours in nylon. He was in serious need of a bath. The baptism service that we've just taken part in is full of symbols, and of course the most powerful of those symbols is the water. And we use water for all sorts of things. Water stands for all sorts of things. But most obviously, it stands for that idea of washing, of being made clean. Baptism isn't just a reminder that we're loved from the beginning of life when we're cute babies. It is not difficult to love a baby. I went to visit Kelly and Michael. I went in an evening and Lucy had just got out of the bath and she was pink and she was wearing a fresh sort of onesie. She smelt gorgeous, was insanely cute. She's agreeing with me now. I am gorgeous. It's not hard to love a cute baby. But the difference is, baptism is a reminder that we are still loved by God, even when we're older, and even when we've got ourselves in a state where we're filthy and we need to be cleaned up. Some of us will feel at times in life like we are in a bit of a mess, perhaps because of the things that we've done, because life hasn't gone the way that we thought it might go. Others of us will feel like we're a mess because of things that have been done to us, or things that have happened in life around us. That's why the baptism service asks, do you turn to Christ? Do you come to Jesus? Do you repent of your sins? Do you renounce evil? In baptism, we're not just celebrating and accepting the love of God at the start of life. We're also accepting that we need his help at different points. We're acknowledging that sometimes we need him to give us a fresh start and to wash away the past. The final thing our Bible reading says is this: truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. People often assume that Jesus is talking about the characteristics of a child's faith. They take it to mean that we should have a simple faith. I disagree. I don't think that is what Jesus is saying, in part because I don't think children's faith is simple. I think children ask brilliant and complex and very thoughtful questions about God and life and faith and religion. I think what Jesus means is that children accept the love of God as a gift. They don't feel that they deserve it because of all the wonderful things they've achieved in their life, but nor, for that matter, do they feel undeserving. I think children simply accept that they're loved by God. I love doing baptisms. I especially love baptizing babies because they remind me every single time of the love and of the help that God offers us, not just once at the start of our lives, but every day throughout our lives. And they remind me that those things are freely offered by God. It's that word grace. It's given to us as this generous gift, whether we think we deserve it or not. I want to leave you with one final image, a watery image. Yesterday I was on Facebook and I noticed a photograph of two of the children who are in our congregation here, Romy and Cassius. And in the picture, it was taken on Friday when the weather was like this. And rather than staying at home feeling miserable on a wet Friday in the school holidays, they are pictured standing waist deep in the Quaggy River. just down the road from here, waist deep in the quaggy. They'd borrowed some waders and they were just playing in the water with enormous grins on their faces. It was just such a wonderful and positive image, the sort of thing you think, yeah, that should be on a National Trust advert for childhood or something. But the love of God isn't just for kids. It isn't just for babies like Lucy at the start of their life. It's not just for the day you get baptized. It is for all of us and for always. And so I want to say very simply at the end of this short thought this morning, the love of God is there for each one of us, and we are invited to dive into it, to immerse ourselves in it, to wade out until we're waist deep in the love of God, to allow the love of God to rain down on us. And I really do hope that this morning, if nothing else, you've sensed something of the fact that you are special to God. Because, you know, it wasn't that the postcard made me feel special. Nice sentiment, though, it was. It was actually what the postcard points to. And that is that I am loved by God. And that's what makes me feel truly special. There are times where I try and kid myself. There are other things that make me feel really special. But fundamentally, I know it's knowing that I'm loved by God, that I am his daughter, and I'm part of his family. That's what makes me feel really special. Amen.